So which one of you have Netflix? No? Oh, you're scaring me. Okay. If you don't have Netflix, then perhaps ask your children or grandchildren to let you mooch off their Netflix account or something. But on Netflix, there's a series that I have really enjoyed watching. The Crown is about the life of Queen Elizabeth II, as well as Prince Philip of Edinburgh, who is her husband. And in this third season of The Crown, the newest season, there's an episode where it portrays Princess Alice, the mother of Prince Philip. At their first meeting, after many years of separation due to war and many past mishaps and misunderstanding, and at that meeting, she asked her son this question: "How is your faith?" To which Prince Philip said, "Dormant." Then she told him, "That's not good. Let this be a mother's gift to her child. The one piece of advice: find yourself faith. It helps." No, not just helps, it's everything. Prince Philip later shared in the group of clergy, a support group, whose members were trying to help each other through life struggle, and he shared with them. And it took me 10 minutes to rewind back in order to type down his sharing. And I would like to quote him now for you. "She saw something was amiss. She saw something was missing in her youngest child, her only son. Faith. How's your faith?" she asked me. "I'm here to admit to you that I've lost it. And without it, what is there? The loneliness and emptiness and the anti-climax of going all the way to the moon and find nothing but haunting desolation, ghostly silence, gloom. That is what faithlessness is, as opposed to finding wonder, ecstasy, the miracle of divine creation, God designs and purpose." What am I trying to say? I'm trying to say that the solutions to our problem, I think, it not in the ingenuity of the rocket, nor the science, nor technology, or even the bravery. No, the answer is in here, pointing to his forehead, or here, pointing to his chest, or whatever it is that the faith resides. And so, having ridiculed you and these poor, block, lost souls who are trying to achieve here at St. George's House, I now find myself full of respect and admiration, and not a small part of desperation, as I come to say, "Help, help me." The character of Prince Philip was able to put into words what we all desired, but oftentimes wrongly sought elsewhere. Let us be honest. Too many of us are trying too hard to look for earthly satisfaction, stimulation, pleasure, or achievements as a way to make us feel alive or worth living, but often ended up unhappy and found life not worth living. We tend to overcomplicate things instead of simplifying our lives by making straight our paths, preparing ourselves for the Lord, and become His loving presence for one another. We have stopped searching for God, but only care for ourselves. And it is easy to simply expect and presume that God had to be someone encouraging, uplifting, and act as the butler to give us what we want, instead of repenting, converting, and changing our lives back to the truth. The message of today's readings are clear. One that challenges us to the core by asking us to change our ways. The gospel were not written to tell us to simply be nice and good, but able to live as we like. They were written to affirm the faith of believers who were going through so much persecutions and questioned whether it was worth it to continue being Christians as disciples of Christ. They challenged and invited the ones who were having the identity and faith crisis to keep focus on being faithful to the mission just as Christ did with his. The Master, the Teacher, and the Savior chose to embrace the cross and did what was right and proper to his mission, and so should we. Therefore, if we have strayed away, we have to repent of our wrongdoings. Stop making excuses for our actions and putting the blames on others. We have to stop thinking that we didn't sin or dismiss the reality of sin that destroy our relationship with God, with one another, and with ourselves. The greatest tragedy is for us to ignore and dismiss evil as evil and miss the call to conversion and repentance. The confidier that we just said in the beginning of Mass remind us that we have greatly sinned in our thoughts and in our words, in what we have done and what we have failed to do. However, this general reflection and action only temporarily withhold the minor offenses that we don't remember as to participate in the holy sacrifice of the Mass. It doesn't excuse us from going to confession when we have committed mortal sins. Mortal sins ruptured and destroy our relationship with God and with one another, even the ones that we think that no one else knows, no one else sees. Yet, all these things require a contrition of heart, a humility, and a genuine confession to receive the forgiveness of sins, and especially the acts of reparation or penance to repay for the wrongdoings against God and those who are affected. To receive the Eucharist without the confession of our mortal sins incur upon us and other sins, sacrilege, which means we intentionally profane the sacred by receiving the body and blood of Christ without objective confession, repentance, and reparation. That's why we have the sacrament of reconciliation, the sacrament of healing, because it reconciles us with God, forgives us as we try to confess our sins, remember what we have done, and also humbly ask to be forgiven of the sins that we didn't remember, and to be assigned the proper spiritually or humanly just penance, and to invite the individual penitent to make acts of reparation and penance proper to the felt words or actions against God, neighbor, and self. One of my spiritual directors, who is an exorcist, Monsignor John Essep, used to tell me, "I want you to remember this when you become a priest. One good confession is worth more than 100 exorcisms." The devil and his minions hate it when we confess our sins because they want to enslave us by keeping things secretive and hidden. They do all that they can to keep a penitent away from divine grace, and it takes courage to break through those lies. One confession is worth more than 100 exorcisms, he said. I still remember it in my mind. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, I can tell you this, I'm not lying in front of God. I can affirm what Monsignor Essep told me is true because I have been receiving so much phone calls and message on social media from people who are being disturbed or being manipulated by an evil spirit. As a matter of fact, yesterday I received a phone call, the same thing. It's so easy that the devil is telling us to go our way. But yet it's locked us by being scared and unwilling to change our ways. And then it messes our mind up by making us restless, not at peace, not able to sleep, not able to pray, not able to put God first, not able to be ourselves. My brothers and sisters, however, the devil is only a father of lies, and he and his minions only want us to keep things secret. And the only way to overcome that is to confess our sins so that we can tell them, "You have no control over me. I'm giving myself to God." My brothers and sisters, we cannot go our ways thinking that everything will be fine if we just ignore the truth and live as we like. We can fill our void for a short time, but our hearts will still be empty and restless until it rests in God. The Almighty wants to heal us, but we have to invite the divine healer and physicians into our heart by confessing our sins, admit our failures, and receive reconciliation from the beautiful sacrament of healing given by the Lord to His church. No matter how far we have strayed away, there's always time to turn back. Yet, don't wait until tomorrow. Begin today while you and I still have time. God is here to forgive us through the church and her ministers if we turn back to Him. Therefore, let us be humble in recognizing that we need faith. The virtue of this week is faith. We need faith, the heart that are yearning for the kingdom of God. We have to simplify life and its priorities by preparing our hearts for the Lord to come and to dwell there, making straight our paths toward Him and letting our life shine, point and speak to everyone who is seeking God that He is coming and I know Him. May we heed to what St. John the Baptist said today, so that we can remove the cancer of evil eating us alive and stealing our joy, so that we produce the good fruits as evidence of our genuine, heartfelt, and humble repentance and conversion, so that God is our everything. I'll end my homily today with the same question that Princess Alice asked Prince Philip. So, how is your faith?